Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Feta Tapender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. It is a Wrestling Daft after WrestleMania, and I am joined by none other than the man himself, the main man, Grado.
That was a hell of a lot of content to try and watch you that weekend, was it not?
That was a lot of content over the weekend. We're still without Rab. Good luck to Rab. Right now, as this episode goes out, he's ready for his third night of Orphans.
It was does it not open tonight?
No, it was on last night. It's on tonight, on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can still get tickets, I believe, for Saturday, Sunday. So if you are listening to this, fancy going to see a great musical starring our very own Rab Fornes, you can do that. It's at the Armadillo. And you get to hear Rab sing.
He is a good singer. I was going to send him a bunch of flowers or not.
Listen, that would have been a good idea. Can you sing my name on it or not?
No.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No.
Fuck's sake.
You chip in, mate. Come on.
Well, that's it. Grado, we are on the Wrestling Daft after WrestleMania. What did you make of it? What did you enjoy it? Did you, what, night one, night two? Give me your highlights, give me your lowlights.
Now, you need to remember that the Old Firm was on Sunday, which right. They said about the better, right? However, I did try to watch as much as possible. I haven't. Nae way have I watched everything. I've not even watched the full two nights of WrestleMania. I've kind of picked what I wanted to watch, what I was most excited about. Managed to catch the Hall of Fame on Friday night. I thought that was that. Did you see that?
I did indeed. I skipped a few of the speeches.
Who did you skip?
I skipped Charmel and I watched a wee bit of Shad Gaspard's wife's speech. Watched the Steiners, obviously, because you want to see what Scott Steiner's going to say. I was very disappointed, I have to say. I was wanting to bury everyone.
Two things. I don't know what music they came out to, but I was wanting a kind of holla. I know that wasn't Rick's music,
but
wanted old Scott to come out with the change in his head and all that carry on. But I did get a pop out of Rick Steiner saying, we've got 4 minutes, mate, and you've took up three. Kind of, I mean, all the time he had left he was to fucking basically say thanks to his wife.
Aye,
and his
Scott Steiner went off on a fucking story about the Macho
about
Man
horses.
And
what
a fucking cow in a field. I'm like, what is he talking about?
I did, and then I don't know how I feel about Undertaker. First I thought he was going to be revealing the new iPhone with that thing in his neck. But I felt that was
he milked it a wee bit, eh? Taker, eh?
No, I mean, I did like it. It was good. It was good to see him. But, well, no, in fact, I'll tell you what I really felt. He came out and he was going, this is me, basically. This is the first time I'm coming out talking to his man. I'm going, no, you were fucking on Loose Women and GMTV. This isn't the first time you've done it. Kind of way he was going on, as if this is the first time I'm going.
Aye, Mark Calloway.
He's been having bar Bowie at breakfast recently.
But we started off for the Hall of Fame. I have to admit, I didn't see any of the NXT show on the Saturday. I don't know about how good that was.
Watched the Bron Breakker and Ziggler match, which was
it good?
I like
that Bron Breakker's a star, eh?
Oh, he's a mega star. I was surprised that he never won in the Saturday, but then he won on the Monday.
That was a strange thing, I thought. But
I'll tell you what did happen, right? Because I was to be up for 7 o'clock Sunday morning because the boys were coming round at 8 to watch, or at least we were going to the game. So I says, everybody in my bit for 8 o'clock, and I had to tell them that WrestleMania was in the night before, and they were gone. That was when my brother says, because I says to my brother, I'm watching WrestleMania, he goes, see if you miss WrestleMania for the Old Firm, man, you're dead to me. I goes, but Steve Austin's back. He went, See, that's embarrassing, man. You're bringing Steve Austin back. He says, that's like us. That's like Rangers bringing back fucking Rod Wallace to play. So I told Shah, I'm going to try and stay up as late as I can. But see, if I stop texting you, give me a phone right when Seth Rollins comes out for this open challenge. Because me last week, right, I feel kind of a bit of a redneck now, but I was on this podcast last week saying I don't think Cody's going to turn up.
Yes.
I'd heard the rumours about...
In fact, there's two things to say that would be very disappointing. Cody's not ready to turn up and Austin's just going to do a stunner and it's just going to be a chat show, but both proved wrong.
I was proved well wrong. But I said to Shah, please phone me just at Seth Rollins, day and open challenge, so that I can see it. Of course, I fell asleep.
Yeah.
He never phoned me. He fucking texted me block capital letters. Oh my God, the Cody entrance was fucking amazing. And I woke up going, well, that's it, spoiled for me then, innit? I was raging with him, man. I went, well, thanks for that. I goes, we wait all year for stuff like this. Why did you not phone me? Ah, but you've got a Wayne. You've got a Wayne. I goes, fucking never mind a Wayne. It's WrestleMania. So I was a wee bit disappointed that I never get the right surprise. But don't get me wrong, I still pop big time for it. I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was good, wasn't it? It was good. Did you keep this?
It was good. I mean,
just with the music and the logo and...
Yeah, it was a great pot. It was a massive pot. I would have loved it. I would have fucking loved it if Shane's music had hit. And Shane went down to the ring and then Vince comes on and says, Shane, it's not you. And then Cody came out to the pop, just swerve it. I think that would have been brilliant. It would have been fucking great.
Did you enjoy the actual match?
I did. I think Cody...
But a wee bit too long.
A bit too long. I thought match of the night, actually. I thought the women's match between Becky and Bianchi, I thought it was cracking. Really, really enjoyed that.
Do you know what I've got to say, right? About the whole weekend, to be honest with you, look at us last week saying we're not excited, mm-hmm. we're not pumped for it. Give them their due, mate. They knocked it out.
It was a good wrestle. I enjoyed it.
It was a great WrestleMania. See, when you actually think back to it, it was a great WrestleMania. Wow. See, WWE when it comes to it, mate, they did deliver. It's everything. See the production and I know I go on and on and on about music, but see that. Where's that Blinding Lights song? No, Blinding Lights. Would you call
it? I say the new weekend one. Yeah. That's good.
But they just know how to put on.
Aye.
It was a great weekend. I honestly, there's a lot of stuff that I've not watched, but I needed something like that after Sunday's FIFA as well. I was like, thank God it's WrestleMania. I've got something else to kind of. Watch as well, but don't get me wrong, but I mean when you think about it when it comes to, you know, the future at the WWE, I mean the best bits about it for a weekend, you can say Cody, but Johnny Knoxville was amazing.
Let's talk about Johnny
Knoxville. Pat McAfee was brilliant. Steve Austin was brilliant. You know, wasn't it, there was nae big, apart from Cody, it didn't really give any sort of... There was no big WrestleMania moment for anybody else.
I was impressed by Logan Paul, I have to say.
Logan Paul as well.
I was really impressed by what he did in the ring. What did you make of the Austin Owens bit, Greg? Obviously, you grew up on Austin's, massive fan of his work. What did you make of that whole, the KO show? I loved how they didn't fanny about too much for the talk show bit and they just kind of went, right, let's do it. And what did you make it all?
I enjoyed that. And when I was watching it, though, did you see when Austin came out and he went back? Right?
Aye.
And I thought, he's going to put his pants on. He's going to put his pants, his vest on. That's what I thought he was going to do, but he came out in that daft quad bike.
Aye.
I thought, somebody's going to be standing with a Ken, right, Ken, open the trunks up for him for to put his two legs in one at a time. That's what I thought he was going to do.
I thought he was actually going to go out to the back, grab a ref and walk out with a ref. That's what I thought they were going to do. But...
And then I actually thought at one point, and a lot of folk were predicting it, but a lot of folk had maybe said that Austin would come out and challenge him to the next thing. I thought, hey, that might actually happen, but I'm glad they done it.
It was good that it was just done. And obviously in the next night, Austin pops up again at the end of the Theory McAfee match, which was a good match. Vince, come on now, Vince. Oh, fucking putting himself over at that age against fucking Pat McAfee.
I mean, where was it, Nicky? Honestly, there was loads of... I mean, that stunner...
The stunner was amazing.
Did you see the bit where he was holding Austin Theory's horn up, and he obviously the music hit, and he thought it was Austin. And he said, "Did you see that? I fucking love that." He's going, ooh, then he realised.
He realised it was Austin. That was brilliant. But the stunner cell, the fact that Stone Cold was just pissing himself laughing. Aye, he couldn't stop laughing for about a minute while he's drinking his beer.
Have you seen Foley's reaction? And all Foley's reactions. Foley's wee boy whipped out the camera phone as soon as it happened, and there's a video of Foley absolutely pissing himself watching it.
That's great. It's
brilliant. No, it was a great weekend. I've not watched the Roman and Brock match, but I heard it wasn't too good. Wasn't the main best.
Event, yeah, I thought the main event fell flat. The opening tag team match was great with the Street Profits, RK Bro, and your favourite Shush, the Alpha Academy.
Shush, missed that. What about all books, all boogers?
Oh yeah, he took a sore one. I think they were meant to go over, and you know he's been injured there when he's kind of buckled. The Sami Zayn, Johnny Knoxville, Sami Zayn's just so good, so good. That sort of thing. I saw Meltzer buried it. Did you see Meltzer?
Oh,
the
he's ass.
He buried
he's
it.
Arse. He's arse.
I mean, the pop for Party Boy when Chris Pontius popped up was amazing, and then the Wee Man as well.
Well, it was a better comedy match than what you see on AEW when they attempt to do comedy stuff.
Yeah,
I can assure you that was brilliant. See the pop the Wee Man got with the big body slam. Superb. Aye. Just everything about it, and even the way they filmed it, because the big horn coming out of nowhere, getting Sami Zayn, I still pop for that. The bowling ball. The firework spot on the turnbuckle, it was produced perfect for me. I loved it. I thought it was superb.
I thought you'd like that one.
Superb, man. Gaga was on point.
Another thing you love is a good entrance. You see Edge's entrance?
No, I never seen that. No.
Oh, you like that? You like that?
The Outer Bridge play or something? No.
Well, it's not. He's sitting on a throne, like up, kind of elevated, flames all around him. Looks cool as fuck, man. He's got obviously.
He's not one of these guys now, but he's not one of the kind of. Hello. Is it all that?
It's just the entrance looks cool as fuck. And the entrance, and it looks like he's. I really hope he kind of came in league. Everyone's talked about the AJ Styles Edge match. I wasn't overly impressed by it. I don't know. Everyone's said that was match of the night, potentially match of the weekend, but I wasn't overly impressed. I do hope, and this is my true hope right now, Damian Priest got involved, and I hope the Edge sets up a version of the Brood, but he's kind of in the Gangrel role, and he gets another person, because that would be cool as fuck. I'd love that.
Why don't you tweet at WWE?
I will tweet at WWE and let them know about that. New Day as well, hats off them coming out in Big E's gear. I thought that was a nice moment as well, but the match was just a throwaway match. But overall, we sat in this podcast last week. Oh, I'm not really bored with it. Overall, very impressed. Really enjoyed it.
Watched some of Monday night as well. Watched some of that. That was all. I mean, I know a lot of folk were on the two pleas. There wasn't much happening, but.
Nah. I was a bit disappointed in that. I mean, let's talk about a couple of the big talking points. Cody's promo, Grado. You messaged me saying, have you seen Cody's promo? What did you make it?
I didn't like it.
You don't like it?
No, I don't think it comes across. I think it. Look, listen, Cody's an absolute star. He was the best thing about the weekend.
Yeah.
But for me, man, see that it's just kind of forced, or that just the way he was talking in a funny way. And I don't know if he's always done that in the AEW, but I'm pretty sure I watched AEW a couple of weeks ago and he cut me the less the same promo. And I thought, I'm not in the mood for this again. I don't know, I think he comes across, he's trying to be too smart. Do you know who it puts me in mind, eh? And I said this to Shah, but it puts me in mind, and this will not mean anything to you, but Lionheart used to go and let him see his wee overacting faces, his wee kind of looking to the crowd and all this, and Ken doing all that. You can't see what I'm doing now, but Ken stunning up and doing all this, Ken. It looks, we always used to say, Adrian was a babyface, and you go, why are you babyface? You're so unlikable. You know what I mean? That is, you're so unlikable, Ken. That just the way he just loves the smell, he's in shite, Ken. That kind of like, I don't know. I feel as if he, I feel as if it just comes out too rehearsed and too forced his promo.
Did he force those tears out? Those crocodile tears he's forced out there?
Look, I can't say it because it's no fair. He's talking about his dad and of course he's getting emotional and stuff like that, but I feel as if I've seen stuff like that before. And I get that he's getting a chance to be himself and maybe I'm being a wee bit too much, but I just felt as if, it's not that I didn't enjoy it, but I could see through it, put it that way.
And what about Elias coming back as his brother Ezekiel? I tell you what, if someone
he looks like him, doesn't he?
He's
his double.
I know, but I tell you what, if I hadn't been flagged up that actually it is Elias to me, I would actually be believe that because he looks so different.
He did look different. But it's funny, but because I thought to myself, well, what are they going to do with us? Because Elias has got a beard, doesn't he? Because I thought, where is this going to go? Is there going to be some sort of one week he comes out as Elias? But he can't really do that if he's not got a beard. You know, the way, like, just apart and...
And just pretend that he's different people. I hope it's not... I love the Elias character. I just don't think he got the opportunity that he should have. Because he was really over at one point. Over.
He looked like something... he looked like somebody for like 2006.
He looked like Make More Wrestling. He looked like a smart... WWE 2K, wrestler.
He looked like I don't know, somebody that's just came up for, what was the feeder company called in the early night?
FCW.
He looked like somebody just came up for FCW in like 2006 with Luke Gallows or one of the, do you know what I mean? One of the kind of guys. I'll see where it goes. But what else happened in Raw?
Roy Reigns cut a
your Veerman guy, he came out, didn't he?
He came in, there you go. But it was a bit lackluster for the Raw after Mania.
What about Cody? Did you see Cody's entrance? There was a few botches in the entrance as well.
Because he was only halfway up the stage. just his wee head sticking out.
The wee head. And then he's gone, wah, wah, to get the fucking pyro on. And then it doesn't come. And then he walks two steps. Then it comes down.
Oh, they're fucking going to bury Cody, aren't they? They're going to bury him.
I don't know, man. I think I was delighted that they did give him everything. You know, the logo, the American Nightmare, and the music and stuff like that. It was cool to see.
Yeah, it was. It was indeed. Let's get in. We'll talk more about WrestleMania when we get to the buddies and putovers a little bit later on. But let's get into the correspondence from last week. Gregor Daniel McBride's got in touch and says, catching up on Wrestling Daft while lounging by the pool at Albufeira, sporting my oddball sports shorts. What a life. And he sent a wee picture of him. You can see his trainers, his gutties, his... got his legs stretched out with a pool in front of him. Very nice.
Big two milk bottle legs, man. Good on you. At least somebody's getting to go abroad. I think the only place I'm going to some caravan park that I got for $19.99 off the sun. I'm going. That's where I'm going in May, mate. That's about the extent of my holidays this year.
Well, when you've got
Good on you. At my... what's his name again?
It's Daniel McBride.
Daniel McBride.
Daniel, we know Daniel really well on this podcast. So I thought this got me thinking, Grado. I want people, you're listening to the podcast right now, take a picture this very moment, take a picture right now, whatever you're listening to, send it in to us at Wrestling Daft, and we'll see next week where the most unusual place someone's listening to the podcast is.
That's a good idea.
Right. Picture now, you're listening to the podcast, take a picture on your camera phone, let us see where you're listening to the podcast, and tweet us at Wrestling Daft, and we'll do some more of these next week. I know we always moan about pictures and podcasts and they don't really work, but we could do theatre of the mind. So, get your pictures in. Right, Pablo's Vault of Horror, in reference to talking about Goldberg last week, this clip has haunted me, Grado, wait to hear this. Right, so me and you were talking about Goldberg last week, right? And Pablo's Vault of Horror has clipped this bit of the podcast off, and he says, Pablo's Vault of Horror says, in reference to talking about Goldberg last week, not sure if we need the Goldberg pulling out sound effect. Now, listen to this, Grado, because it has haunted me. Here we go.
In a couple of weeks in Liverpool, he's going to be there.
Oh, really? Wow.
And Jeff, aye.
Yeah, I'm on the podcast.
Goldberg pulled out last night.
So, yeah, it's a bit than that. So, yeah,
I'm on the podcast.
Goldberg pulled out last night.
That's dirty, man.
It's not a good look for me. It's not a good look for
Goldberg
me.
Goldberg pulled out last night.
We're talking about signing contest between you and Rab, Grado, last week, potentially when Rab returns, because he's now singing, obviously, in the Orphans. And Toby Michaels, our friend Toby Michaels, singer extraordinaire in many a band.
Sorry, mate, I just can't get the vision of Goldberg horsing me out of my mind now. Anyway, what were you saying?
Toby Michaels has stepped forward and offered to judge the singing competition between you and Rab if it should happen. Side note, he says you're both lovely singers in your own right.
Well, thanks very much for that, Toby. None of you can lace your boots when it comes to the old chanting, my man. Well, if I'm going to be singing with Rab, I'd rather do it as soon as he comes back for the offering, because I've heard some of the songs he's got to sing. And I don't know... have you heard any of the songs?
I've seen a clip on Facebook of him singing.
Mate, it's no messing about it. It's right fucking high notes and all the rest of it.
You're just as well. You didn't get that audition, you imagine?
No, I did get the audition, but I fucked it. Anyway. Aye, but that's fine. We'll do that as soon as Rab comes back. We'll have a wee competition.
I'm sure Rab will be right up for that. Mark Russell says, "Hi, troops. I thought I would share this video with you. I've been looking for it now for ages to share because I still find it hilarious. But it finally popped on my Facebook memories. This was at an ICW show I was at years ago. The one where the lights went out and Fergal Devitt was the mystery competitor for the Zero-G belt. The guy in front of us was buzzing the full show, kept on shouting stuff like, 'I've been saving up for this.' He nearly wet himself, then came out with shout of the night in this video. Keep up the good work. Hope Grado's hoop as well." And this comes from Mark. Listen to this chant, Grado, which happened at an ICW show just a wee while ago.
Smash that cunt! Smash that cunt! Smash that cunt! Smash that cunt!
Brilliant, love that. Cunt's love that. Smart. Got to love the ICW faithful.
Aye, that was it, man. That was some night when Fergal, God, see me think about it, it was mental how often Fergal would turn up. Now, he used to be the best when he was at ICW. His match with Wolfgang was superb. Anyway.
Michael pointed out ahead of the Old Firm that Hulk Hogan last week, Grado, I don't know if this is an indication yet again, the Hulkster's been at it. Hulk Hogan just tweeted out last week, HH.
Oh, come on, surely we've pointed this out before, have we not?
We have, but I mean, he just tweeted out his initials, HH. He must have been on the booze, the old Hulkster. Celtic Daft, says Michael. He must be Celtic Daft.
Do you follow Hogan on Twitter or anything like these days?
I do.
Do you know, see, he's got a wee karaoke club on a Monday night? And not sitting watch Raw. No, this is what the day. It's like his boy Nick does the DJing. Ric Flair is always there. He's always on the dance floor in this Hulk Hogan pub. And they're always all dancing and Raw's on the background. But I would have liked to have seen his reaction on Monday when Cody said his name and the whole place booed.
I'd like to have seen his reaction on Sunday after the Old Firm result. I'm going to Florida in the summer. Do you think I can find this pub and like go and see the Hogan?
I don't know if there's still two, but there was two back in the day. No, there was a Hulk Hogan beat shop and there was a Hulk Hogan beat shop and pub. But I think he downsized. But he's always cutting about, mate.
Right, okay. So head down there when I'm in Florida and maybe, you know, we can reminisce about you.
Aye. Oh, he'll remember me, all right.
Of course he will. Of course he will. So that's it for this week's correspondent. If you want to get in touch with any of that, remember, get your pictures in. Just send random wrestling related stuff. Get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, or just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Woo! Grado, this week Wrestling Daft is brought to you by BetterHelp. Now, people don't realise that physical symptoms, and I want you to listen very closely to this, like headaches, teeth grinding and even digestive issues can be indicators of stress. And let's not forget about doom scrolling. That's you.
How do you know that's me?
Too little, sleeping too much, undereating and overeating.
Wow, if that's ever been me, that is me. How that doom, is that what they call it? Doom scrolling?
You know what it is. I'm googling symptoms, absolutely.
Oh my god. Right, okay, so what
this could be an indication of stress, Grado. I mean, you are a hard-working man. You do this podcast, you do the radio, you do the wrestling, you do the TV, you do the panto, you do everything. So you are working hard and you could be getting stressed out.
Right,
you're eating less at the moment because you're on your gluten-free diet.
Well,
you're not sleeping well.
no taking a dissect this part of the show, and it's a sponsor, but my gluten-free career came to an end on Saturday night via a fish finger, but I'll talk about that another time. Anyway, go on.
You get gluten-free fish fingers, you do know this?
No, I know, but I was out for my dinner.
Oh, right. You had fish fingers?
I knew you were going to say that.
All the things you could have broken your gluten-free with, and you went for a fish finger.
Well, it was fish tacos, but they're made by fish fingers.
Oh, I do like fish. I like a fish taco. But listen, yeah. All these indicators could be signs that you're stressed, right? Because stress can show up in so many different ways. In a world that's telling you to do more, sleep less, and grind all the time, here's your reminder to take care of yourself. Do less, and maybe try some therapy. Now, we've talked about BetterHelp on this podcast before. It's a customised online therapy that's going to offer you video, phone, and even live chat sessions with a therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to, right? Because, I mean, we all need a bit of TLC when it comes to mental health these days, don't we?
We do.
We just.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You need a wee cuddle, I thought.
Yeah, it just and speaking to someone about all these problems, about all these worries, can sometimes help, especially with stress.
And especially somebody that you don't know either. It might, somebody that's experienced.
Aye.
And, you know, sometimes you don't want to talk to people that you know.
And yeah, exactly. And BetterHelp is much more affordable than in-person therapy, because you could be spending an absolute fortune when you go to a therapist these days. So there you go. Doomscrolling Grado, he's stressed that he's going to get a bod appointment from his sister Elaine, so this is what he needs to get involved with. It's much more affordable, like I say, than in-person therapy. Give it a try, and it might help you. Give on, you know, we might as well give it a try, because we're going to give you 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/wrestlingdaft. So you get involved now. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/wrestlingdaft. And do your mental health a wee favour. Every week we separate the good stuff from the bad stuff in wrestling. So we bury and put over stuff. It's a bit of a WrestleMania special this week, Grado. So we're put over the Vince McMahon selling a stunner to the Austin Theory selling a stunner. That's the Bryson put over this week. And Austin Theory sold it like The Rock. I have to say, it was I loved that Rock sell of the stunner, and Austin Theory did. I paid a good tribute to it.
Too much.
All right. We've kind of done our buddies and put overs from WrestleMania.
Listen, I'm not going to bury it, because I fair enjoyed all wrestling this week. I'm going to put over WrestleMania. I'm going to put over. I watched some of the WWE. I watched some of the Ring of Honor show. I've watched a couple of other wee bits and bobs that happened to WrestleMania weekend. And even just getting to see everybody's pictures that were there, that were lucky enough to be there for Comic Con and stuff like that. So,
Next year, yeah.
That should be, man.
Next year, Wrestling Daft, trip to WrestleMania to watch Grado wrestling. Everyone's invited, all the listeners invited as well. We'll pile over, watch you wrestle. Yeah.
If I can get booked.
Right, let's book, we'll start the campaign later now this year. Let's book Gator Grado for Mania.
I'll take a rumble, just a rumble slot, any
rumble slot. We'll take anything if you're listening, you're a promoter over in the States. Sean's got in touch first off and says, put over an overall very good Mania that had low expectations. It was a very fun weekend of wrestling. We've been saying that all podcast, Grado.
Absolutely, we have. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Bury myself for Bury and Logan Paul being on Mania last show, then him actually being really good at the whole wrestling thing.
Well, I'm telling you, transcended, because I'm in the chat with all the boys, and there's maybe one or two of them out of 30 that like the wrestling.
Aye.
And all the boys that don't like the wrestling were going, oh my God, look at Logan Paul, he's a good wrestler. So it's definitely, they've done their, what they set out today with Logan Paul, because he did look tremendous.
I mean, it looks like they're going to run a programme with him as
well. Fucking me, they can't.
I mean, it looks like the Miz and the Logan Paul thing's going to continue after Miz played the dirty, but they tried to turn Miz face. I don't understand. Don't turn.
No, I had heard that the Logan Paul deal was that at the end Logan Paul becomes a baby face in it. That's apparently in their agreement.
There's no chance they'll get Logan Paul as a baby face.
That's what I was thinking.
There's no chance.
But they need somebody like the Miz for that to work.
That is true. Cooper Van Coop says, put over Zayn versus Jackass is how comedy wrestling should be done. Grado, you're a big, you know, the best comedy wrestler. And I don't want to put comedy in front of your name, but you're a great, you make people you entertain people when you wrestle. I mean, you loved that, didn't you?
I got a giggle off every spot, and I can just see, because I heard that Shane Helms produced it, and I've spent a lot of time with Shane
Daddy.
Helms. And I can tell, and he loves his gaga, so it was perfectly produced. It was no too much, and it done everything. I thought Johnny Knoxville more or less played the straight guy in that match. Sami Zayn was a star.
Yeah, absolutely. Also putting over, giving Austin the send-off he deserved. Him and KO deserved enormous credit for what they did. The triple threat tag team match for me was the best match over the two nights. I still think it's Becky Bianca for me, but, you know. Jamie Kerr says, put over owns Zayn and Pat McAfee. Buddy, Sunday's Mania, opening match, best night of with RK-Bro, Alpha Academy, and Street Profits. After that was Zayn making Jackass cast look good. Oh, it's a criticism. Performer of the night, Pat McAfee, tells a story. Other matches were meh. Brock Reigns, terrible.
Oh, who's that?
That's Jamie, regular correspondent. So, not
I'm never happy, Jamie, are you?
He's not very happy. Dean says, put over Pat McAfee living his dream, putting on a decent performance and being over with the crowd.
He was good, man. The music helped him as well, but he,
oh, mate, how did they get the White Stripes Seven Nation Army?
I like how they're doing that. I thought it was perfect, man. It just suited him right down to a T.
I love
that. That help, man. They really, really do help.
Yeah, I said to my mates, he could be one of the top baby faces in SmackDown if you want him. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good. It wants Buddy Fins for letting his ego get in the way and fucking it up. Could have easily had Theory attack McAfee afterwards and Austin make the same without McMahon being involved. Vince just, this is business. This is
he's done it in a wee while, man. Let him have his fun. It was his last hurrah. Look, he'll not be doing anything else, I can't imagine.
Nah, that's him done it. The last thing you'll see, I think that's the last time you'll
well,
see.
Well, don't remember his mom was 101 when she died.
That's true. This is true. But I mean, taking a stunner, I mean, after he take that stunner, he must be going, nah, I'm done. I'm absolutely
<Fuck that.
laughs> done. Absolutely done. A couple of our patrons getting in church as well. Bronze Cello, favourite of ours, putting over FTR versus the Briscoes at Ring of Honor, Austin versus Owens for nostalgia, Theory versus Pat, Roman versus Brock, and Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville.
Another good comedy match was that ring. Colt Cabana wrestled. I can't remember the fella's name, but the opening bout in the Ring of Honor match.
Somebody Honor sent us a message, and I wish I could track it down. In fact, it was Ben McDougall was the person was over at Mania in Dallas. One of our listeners was over at Mania in Dallas. Now, this got really weird because someone sent us a video of someone during the Colt Cabana match shouting out for, where's Grado? And I was like, what? That's mental. And then Ben, one of our fell listeners, was over at Mania, messaged me saying, aye, that was me. It was me who was shouting, where's Grado?
That's brilliant.
There we go. You got a shout out at WrestleMania weekend, Grado. Bronchell was burying the NXT cutest cowboy couple poll. I've not seen this. I'll need to look this out. And the Undertaker Hall of Fame speech was more like a TED talk to me.
It was like a TED talk. He's right. He's bang on.
Plus, he never thanked his granny.
That's right. In fact, he's paid all fucking grand.
I know.
And he didn't thank Foley as well, didn't he? There was a lot of folk going on about that.
I saw Mick Foley's daughter getting a bit hot about that. Ian Milne says, put over the performances of Pat McAfee, Logan Paul and Johnny Knoxville. Buddy, Raw after me, apart from Cody and Bianca promos, it was very disappointing. I agreed with that. Stevie Boy, our listener of the week from last week, he is putting over WrestleMania in general being a success and easily the best one since 30 or 31. Wow. Highlights were Bianca versus Becky, Rollins versus Cody, Pat stealing the show, and Austin and Vince providing the nostalgia factor despite that horrendous stunner. Charlotte versus Ronda is a big buddy for Stevie, easily the black mark of an otherwise top-notch WrestleMania. Our guest later on might disagree with that. Chris says, put over the fact Naycunt will be pointing at the WrestleMania sign again for 8 months. Fucking show the way everyone... Sure, the way everyone goes about it wanting their moment. There you go. And burying Ronda Rousey's ring gear. She was fanning around with it all the way through the match. Just get some funny, gear, man. That's comfy.
I love how that kind of puts folk off. I get that. Fucking funny about me. better gear trying to fix it.
Could be your listener of the week contender for Chris. Geese of Gobble, the good Chris says, great two-night mania, works so much better with being 4 hours max. Agreed. Best bits for me, Wee Man body slamming Sammy, Cody's return to have the best match of the weekend, KO and Stone Cold tearing that up. Also, special note to Samoa Joe becoming All Elite. We've not even talked about Samoa Joe. Came a long way since the Cagoule last year.
Cagoule, what was that again?
I, when it started raining at WrestleMania. And Joe,
that's right. He came a long way since the Cagoule. By the way, have you seen the press conference with Tony Khan and Samoa Joe? Oh, it's hilarious, man.
I saw a screen grab of Tony Grant basically creaming himself.
It's like Samoa Joe's like that. It's the end of the press conference. Samoa Joe's like that. It's like this. And Tony's like that. That's you, Samoa Joe. And he gets up and he walks off, and you can tell Tony Khan's wanting a wee bit more for Samoa Joe. And there's an awkward silence, and Joe's walking away, and Tony Khan's going, thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe. Thanks. And he just fucks off. It's brilliant, honestly. It's dead awkward.
I'll need to look at that. Geezer Gobble, the good cut is burying WWE's accession with augmented reality graphics. I hate them. They're just pishing, add nothing to the entrances.
What's that?
The kind of big CGI that pops up, like
annoying.
The Roman Reigns and all that.
Do you know who that?
Oh, no, you don't like it.
I liked it with Cody Rhodes. I didn't like that. Bianca Belair's is like a big lip.
Ponytail, it's terrible. I don't like that. There's no need for them.
It's too much.
Kevin Dunn just fucking about, isn't it? Fucking got a new toy, new he's app. Fucking about with it. It's like a new app, that's what it is. He's fucking about with it. Look what I can do! Put over Jushin Thunder Liger is putting over Bianca versus Becky, Sammy versus Knoxville, Seth versus Cody, best matches of Mania, and Austin's Owens was a big highlight for him. And he's burying Charlotte and Ronda, wasn't great. Thought Logan Paul done a much better job wrestling than Ronda. Ooh! Apparently, the rumours are that Ronda was not very happy that she wasn't top billing, and there was also rumours that she walked out of WrestleMania.
You just never know stuff with stuff like that. You never, never know.
I know.
It's that time of the show where we have a run-in. Obviously, Rab, for the last couple of weeks, has been off, and I find it hard just doing it with John because he talks so much shite. So what I like today is get somebody... I'm looking at no John, you know that's looking. But we do like to add... We like to have a wee guest, so it breaks the day up a wee bit, don't we?
We do, and some of the guests you've been booking the last couple of weeks have been incredible.
Well, it's about to take a step in another direction because today we've got one of the most, I would say, well-respected guys that are in the writing side of wrestling online. He's a big part of PW Insider. He's respected by quite a lot of the boys, without a doubt, none other than the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson is here. Mike, can you hear me?
I can, Grado. How are you, sir?
How are you, Mike? It's very, 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 very good to hear you.
It's good to hear you, too. I mean, the last time I heard or saw you, I was sitting in Madison Square Garden, and my Twitter DM went off, and you were like, this is one of the greatest nights of my life. And I was like, are you here? And like 5 minutes later, we were having a drink. How are you?
That was a great day. Let's just clear this up. I was not in a wrestling ring at Madison Square Garden, John. I was at a WWE house show at Madison Square Garden. I think it was 2017. Yeah. And I met Mike, who I don't know if we spoke online beforehand. We probably did. But Jeremy Borash always put Mike over, and I've always really respected what Mike does online and stuff like that. So it was great to meet Mike at Madison Square Garden. And you're right, we did share a beer.
Yeah, and I was excited to meet you because I've seen all your stuff on ICW and all these other places. And, you know, I knew how great and how much fun you were in the ring. And everybody always told me what a great person you were. So it was great to, like, you know, it was like the last place you would expect to run into Grado is in the middle of your hometown in New York City. And there he was. So it was awesome.
You know what? It's like one of the, like, people, because I remember telling wrestlers in the UK, and a lot of wrestlers have a bit of self-pride and they don't like to admit when they're fans and they go to shows. I mean, at the time I was still contracted to TNA, John.
Oh, were you?
I was on holiday. I was on vacation with my girlfriend. And who was it that gave me the tickets? It was, what do you call him? Miles. It was Miles that got me the tickets. Kurt Hawkins. And I went, you know what? I'm going to go there. And I swear to God, I had a ball. AJ Styles was coming out and I'm dancing to the AJ Styles music and I'm singing all the music and I'm jumping about and I'm having a beer. you've got to have fun at wrestling shows. Do you still have fun when you go to wrestling shows, Mike?
I do. I just came back from WrestleMania 38 weekend, and I saw like 9 shows, including the 2 nights at AT&T Stadium. And I'm there, I'm there to work. I'm covering the shows, so I'm doing like live updates on PW Insiders. I'm working. But if you're not there and enjoying yourself, like, why even invest the time into it? Like, there comes a point in time in your life, especially as you get older, where it's like, why waste your time on something, especially with the last couple of years we've all had? Why waste your time on something that's not going to lift you up emotionally and spiritually? Why not do something that's going to raise you up, make you feel better, and give you a better day? Like, no one wants to be miserable. No, we've all had points in our lives where we've had jobs like, oh, I got to deal with this jerk. Oh, I got to go here. And we all had to make our money. But if you can be in a position where you can do something you love, it's the best day in the world, even when it's the worst day on the job. But yeah, I saw so many wrestlers just busting their butts. Like, I saw Michael Oku, who very well from the UK and the European scene, had this great match with Rich Swann over the weekend on one of the shows. And I had never seen him live. I had just seen him on tape. And I was like, wow, this guy's so much fun and so good. And he and Rich had this great chemistry. I saw a great match with Flamita and Bandito at an MLW show. And you sit there and you kind of get breathless for a second because you're like, how are these guys putting all of this madness together? And you think about what the brain power it takes just to create something and conceptualize it. And then they go out and do it. And Lucha is such a unique thing in the ring compared to what, Americans, what some Europeans do. And you're like, how are they keeping all this in their brain as they're trying to do everything? And if they're off by 10 seconds, it's going to look absolutely horrible. So you can't help but marvel at that. And even being at WrestleMania, if I thought this year was a really fun show, especially night one, they gave you more than they promised, which is very rare for a WWE thing. Sometimes you get what you expect, you get a lot less. This time you got Austin in the ring, you got McMahon in the ring, you had Cody come back. But just you can't help but look at that production that they put on for a big show like that and not be overwhelmed and impressed. Because that production team, and Grado, you know this from working TV, the people who work behind the scenes that never get praised, who work on lighting, who work on sound, who work on pyro, who work on the backstage logistics of making sure that the TV shows and live events run smoothly, that no one ever hears about. Those are the people who really bust their butts the most and should be celebrated after a big weekend like this, because all the different moving parts that it takes just to put on that monster of a production, I'm always impressed by just sitting there watching it, because their timing has to be impeccable too before anybody even gets in the ring and everybody's paying attention to them. One pyro goes off at the wrong time, the lighting cues are wrong, and it destroys the entire ambience of the show. So yeah, I really appreciate and love wrestling. I appreciate and love everything that's done behind the scenes about it. But yeah, I'm at a point in my life where if I don't think I'm going to enjoy myself, I could stay home. I get paid the same whether I go to the show or not. Well, I'd rather be there and kind of immerse myself to have an idea of the ambiance and how it feels to be at the show and get a firsthand understanding of what it was like being in the room. I don't have to. I choose to because I still love wrestling so much.
But you're bang on. You're bang on with it. This weekend, me and John were on a podcast last week and we're sitting there, we're going, oh, the build to WrestleMania, it hasn't been that great. There's, apart from Austin and the possibility of Cody turning up, there's nothing that we're really that excited about. But you've got to hand it to the WWE. That was a great weekend of television, and you're bang on with the likes of production, because even the wee small bits, as you say, like for me, even whoever picked the WrestleMania theme song this year, I love it. It's wee things like that. Everything was just, for me, was perfect, and it was a great WrestleMania. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a thing that Walt Disney used to always say when he opened up the first theme park in California. It's never going to be done. We have to plus it. We have to find ways to plus it and make it a little bit better. And I always feel like with WrestleMania, with like the Bianca Belair entrance or some of the, or Sasha coming out in the I was a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, I don't remember which, but like little things like that add to just a little bit of character flair, or they add something a little bit different that the audience doesn't expect on a regular Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown. Little things like that, they just add a little bit of a pop. It's like you can come out and do your little dance, but when you come out to Madonna, it adds a little bit of something extra where people can just find a different way to connect to you, even if they've never seen you before. Mm-hmm. And I feel like WWE is great at that on the big shows. They come up with ways, like, because WrestleMania is their time capsule more than anything else. That's going to be the one show that every fan 20 years from now goes, oh, what happened in WWE? This is going to be the representation of WWE for that year. So they do a lot of things on that show to appeal to someone who's just watching that show cold, as opposed to the fans who are immersed in every single WWE broadcast presentation. You could go on the WWE Network or Peacock, or wherever it's streaming by the time someone listens to this, and watch WrestleMania and kind of know start to end what the stories are. That's why, as much as people complain about like the video packages that are endless on that show, it's to induct the people who aren't WWE diehards into what they're watching. But that show, I think, when you look at it, it was the one time where WWE over-delivered for everybody.
Absolutely, in
a long time. And like last year, they came back and it was like, hey, we're having a show in front of fans again. And that was good enough, I think, for everybody. But this year was sort of like their step back into the type of WrestleMania presentation they had before we all hit the wall in 2020 and the pandemic happened. And and it was nice to watch. It was nice to be around. Like, I was in the press box and looking down over that sea of humanity, it was weird to be around that many people at one time. Like, I live in New York and I haven't been to Manhattan all that much in the last couple of years because, you know, everything was shut down and it started to come back and Broadway's back and a lot of the major things are back, but it's not what it used to be. It doesn't feel the way it used to be. And being at WrestleMania those two nights and just seeing the sheer mass of humanity, just as I'm driving up to the stadium, it felt like wrestling was back where it was. Now, whether it stays that way, we can all knock on wood and hope and pray. But in that moment, it felt more like, all right, we're back to normal. We're everyone's back to work. And that was a nice feeling too.
I was going to say, Mike, what were your highlights and what were your lowlights of the weekend?
I thought Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch had the absolute best match of either night of WrestleMania. I absolutely loved it. Becky Lynch is just an insanely radiant star who is, to me, on the level of just performing and projecting herself like Ric Flair was in 1985 or Hogan was in 85. There's just something about Becky that she's able to just command the audience. Bianca Belair is one of the best athletes they've ever hired in the history of WWE period. She's absolutely great and likable. I love that match. That was my favorite bell-to-bell match. I thought AJ Styles and Edge had a really damn good match on night two. I like the twist with Damian Priest. As you know, I've been joking on the site, you know, Edge has turned into Malachi Edge in recent weeks. You know, it seems like he went to the Aleister Black finishing school. But, you know, it's weird. But, you know, Damian Priest is a guy who, even though they've done some stuff with him and he's had a title reign and Bad Bunny, he's kind of still been underrepresented. So I'm curious to see where they go with that. I know a lot of people weren't across the board in love with Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey as much as I was. But I was like, that was a fight, man. And sometimes a fight doesn't look pretty.
Exactly. It doesn't need to look cute. It doesn't need to be... Everything doesn't need to be perfect with stuff like that. I felt like that as well. The reason why I went back... Because I missed quite a lot because obviously it's through the night here and I fell asleep and I was reading and it was all to do with the botches and stuff like that. And I went back and I felt, well, what's that? That wasn't much. That was the watch fest.
It wasn't Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair.
No, it didn't need to be
perfect and perfectly timed and a great masterpiece. But it was a spot. You know, it was a fight. And Ronda Rousey's a fighter. She's not an entertainer. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte Flair is one of the best wrestlers in the world, and she did a great job. So I really enjoyed that. And then listen, if you ever cared about Steve Austin at all, which I think we know everybody loves Steve Austin. It's not a shock. You know, we all thought, all right, he's going to do like a 5-minute little brawl and then he's going to hit the stunner and that's going to be it. And we got a full-fledged unannounced Steve Austin match. The man brawled through the crowd. He took a suplex on the floor. They brawled on the stage. Kevin Owens gave us a masterclass in being a great heel who makes a hero look amazing. You go back and look at that. That's probably one of Kevin Owens' best performances of his entire career because he made sure that it was all about Austin, but at the same time, he got enough heat on for himself that he looked credible before he took the stunner. So, like, my fear going into this was, you know, Kevin, they always have this sort of rhythm with Kevin where they build him up and then they wipe him out. And then he's got to build himself up again. I don't think he lost anything coming out of the match.
No,
because he looked, it was a credible fight.
Absolutely.
And I love that. And then, you know, the next day you got, for if you wanted your nostalgia, you got Vince McMahon taking the worst stunner of all time against Austin. But if you go back to, you know, I can't believe I know the date, but September 25th, 1997, you see Vince take that first stunner with from Austin to Madison Square Garden. That was awful, too.
He couldn't take a stunner when he was 50, never mind 75. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, everybody wanted to see Austin do the little, do the beer. And you know, right down to the DTA, don't trust anybody. Oh, Pat McAfee, you're a nice guy. Nope, you're getting stunned too. I mean, so if you liked Austin, it was a nice piece of nostalgia. And I like that they brought him back for night two because you got 70, 80,000 people there who were there. Just because they were there for night one doesn't mean they were there for night two. So there wasn't that feeling of, oh, I missed Austin. I should have gone the other night. They had Undertaker come out and wave to everybody. I really thought that everything on the show, with the exception of one match, really delivered. And the one match that didn't deliver was New Day against Ridge and Sheamus. And we know why. They ran long on night one, and they got him crowbarred into night two. And it was like, do your entrance, get in and out, and you're done. So at least they all got to perform at WrestleMania as opposed to getting pulled off the show, which is always, you know, just a mental screw up for these guys. Like, they always feel like they've been done wrong, or what have I done wrong, or my whole year has been wasted. So at least they got on, but we know that match could have been something really great if they had a good 15, 20 minutes to do something. So I don't even blame the talent. It was just, unfortunately, a necessity of the logistics of their timing from night one. But yeah, there was a lot of good stuff on the show. I thought the FTR against the Briscoes in Ring of Honor was absolutely incredible. I think that was the best match.
I've heard about that something.
Yeah.
That was a war, like an old school, four guys don't like each other, they're going to beat each other, bloody war. And I loved it. I think that was the best bell-to-bell match of anything on any of the shows. Grado's old home, Impact Wrestling, had a great night. Briscoes against the Good Brothers. They had a great Ultimate X match. In fact, I'll give you a story I didn't put on PW Insider yet. So I was in the room where they were setting up the Ultimate X before the show. And as they lifted up the girder, they hit a chandelier in the hotel and shattered it. So I don't know who's paying for that, but it was pretty significant damage.
Oh, I don't know if that will get paid for.
Someone had to sign a contract with the building. It was raining glass all around that ring, and I was like, oh my God, here we go. Pro Wrestling Chaos Theory.
Mike, I've got to ask you a question. One of your contemporaries, Mr. David Meltzer, he got a lot of heat on Twitter after criticising Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville match. What did you make of it?
Well, okay, so I didn't see what he wrote, but here's what it was. It was a live-action Looney Tunes cartoon. What else are they going to do with Johnny Knoxville? Is Johnny Knoxville going to go out there and do a headlock into a head scissor and then do a couple of Hurricanranas? No. He was the whole thing started to promote the Jackass movie. People know him as that character. Of course they're going to play into that character. That's like saying, well, Mr. T got in the ring at WrestleMania 1 and he didn't do 5 arm drags and a drop kick. Do you think Mr. T is going to be able to do that? Much less, what should Mr. T do that? Yeah. Here's what I can tell you. I know some people loved the match. I know some people hated the match. The goal of a pro wrestler is to go out there and make the audience care about what you're doing and bring them up and bring them down. And whether it's making them laugh or making them angry, your job is to elicit a response out of them. I was in the press box, so I'm looking down when I'm looking out the glass at the arena, at the stadium. All I saw that entire match were people jumping up and down.
Yep.
And on the screen, all I could see beyond what was on the TV screens were people laughing at what was going on. Whether it was Wee Man coming out from under the ring and beating the crap out of Sami Zayn, which I thought was funny, or the ridiculously large cartoonish mousetrap, or whatever. The audience loved all of it. So if the audience loved it, it doesn't matter whether I loved it or Dave Meltzer loved it or anybody else. The audience loved it.
Exactly.
And if the audience loved it, it's a success. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And the crowd were hot. The crowd were hot. I mean, more so the Saturday night, but they were a great WrestleMania crowd as well.
Yeah. They were. And you know, the one thing that shocked me was, and I don't know the numbers other than what WWE said, but they said there were like 30 or 40 different countries that were there. And that's the one thing I was shocked at. I didn't expect as many international travelers coming in. Because, you know, we're still not, no matter what, how we're all acting at this point, we're still not 100% out of this mess.
No,
and as we saw with the Omicron, it could always come back. So I was surprised at how many people were just like, yep, going to go to WrestleMania, no fear. Mm-hmm. And good for them that they felt that way. But, you know, you it was amazing to me to see, like, they said, oh, people from all 50 states were here, which I expected that, right? Because you got those diehard fans who were like, this is my vacation, I'm going here. And in the United States, you know, it's a lot easier to travel now. But internationally, you know, it's there's still all sorts of different parameters. So I was surprised that as many people came from out of the states. But you know what? God bless them for being able to do it. My hope is that 2 weeks from now, everybody who is there isn't sick in some way, shape, or form, including myself. You know,
because
I can tell you, being in Texas, it was the percentage of people wearing masks versus the people that weren't. It was like going into an alternative universe. The second I got off the plane, I'm walking through Love Field, and I'm like, all right, isn't everybody supposed to be still wearing masks in the airport? It was none of that. I was like the one person that I saw when I was leaving the airport.
Hey, Mike, I've got to ask you about Cody. I mean, for me, that and Saturday night, to me, that was what wrestling is all about. I watched that back, and just the fact that he got to come out to the music, he got the logo, the crowd. I mean, for me, I didn't know exactly if it was going to be Cody, and I liked that, even though it got spoiled because Shaw Samuels texted me because I never watched it live. However, I wasn't 100% sure that he was going to show up, but for me, that was a perfect WrestleMania moment. I loved it.
Yeah, I reported he was starting WrestleMania weekend, but as you know, as a wrestler, 2 seconds before you go out to the ring, something can change, no matter what company it is. That's just the nature of the game, especially when you're doing something live in the moment. Until that moment, anything can happen. They did a great job. You know, we're talking about production. Seth comes out, and he's standing there. He's doing his maniacal Joker laugh, and everybody's waiting, and the lights go out. Everyone's waiting. And there's no, like, they don't throw the name up on the screen and give it away. Everyone's waiting. And then finally the music hits. And people who know the music are like, oh. And then when the guitar riff hits, all the graphics hit up and you just hear this huge roar in the building. And it was the biggest night of Cody Rhodes' life. And I would all, no disrespect to AEW, but the last time Cody Rhodes was in WWE, he was liked by fans, but he was not a WWE star. He was somebody on the roster. And last night, or I should say Saturday night when he came out, it reminded me of all things the Hardys against Edge and Christian in that first ladder match. Because over the course of that ladder match, I think it was No Mercy in 99 or 2000. They transformed themselves from just guys on the roster into legitimate bona fide WWE stars. And by the time Cody came up in the little elevator and looked around and walked to the ring, he had transformed from, oh, he was Dash and Cody Rhodes or Stardust, he was just another guy there, into a legitimate star. Now, whether they can maintain that or not is on their creative, which can be dicey at times. Mm-hmm. But the one thing, like, the match was awesome. He got to deliver. He got to basically continue on as the American Nightmare, the character that he's been in some way, shape, or form from the day he walked out of WWE. And the next day, he cut a promo like a wrestler on a sports entertainment show. Mm-hmm. So if that's going to kind of be his character for right now, where he's this real person who wants to win the title in honor of his father, as opposed to this over-the-top cartoonish character, and he's the one wrestler standing strong in the storm of sports entertainment, he's going to seem so unique compared to everyone else in WWE at this moment. Whether they maintain that or not, I don't know. But yeah, he and AEW did something really special when that was formed. And in my heart of hearts, I kind of wish he was still there, because it would have been a nice story of all these guys came together. They form the Elite. They link up with Tony Khan. They build this machine to rage against everything else in WWE. And they build this great home for themselves, this great future for themselves. And we all live happily ever after. That's not really how life works. But in my mind, I would have preferred that. But Cody going there back to WWE, I felt like he probably got to put out some fires and self-doubt that he had when he quit, and maybe some angst and bitterness that he had when he left that company. Mm-hmm. And now, like, how can anyone not respect the idea of, my dad was one of the biggest stars in wrestling, but he never got to be the WWE champion. And at 8 years old, my dream was to win that belt and say, this is yours. No one can take it from you the way it was taken from him in that Madison Square Garden match, right? And his dad passes away. He can't have that moment anymore, but he can still do it in honor of his dad. Who in the world doesn't love that story?
It's an easy story. It's an easy story.
That's Luke Skywalker trying to redeem his father level. Like, oh my God, I get goosebumps here, you know?
Listen, it's an easy story, but John's laughing at me, right? Because it was
I'm laughing because Grado didn't like it, Mike.
No, it's not that I didn't like the promo. It's not that I didn't like it. I don't know. When Cody speaks, sometimes he uses words that I feel, and this might be me being an asshole, but I feel some of it is quite forced and quite too rehearsed, if such. And even some of his mannerisms, I'm not the greatest fan of. However, what I will say, the story about what you've just said, that could last a year. That whole story about him trying to win the title that his father wore, I do agree with that. But I hope that I know you're talking about the creative, but hopefully there's somebody in Cody's ear that maybe kind of reins him in. I know that his promos are great, but in AEW, near the tail end, I didn't enjoy his promos. I cringed a wee bit.
I think, you know, you're not wrong. I do think if there's one weakness to Cody at times, it's probably that he overthinks stuff and tries too hard. And everybody in the business at some point was cutting promos to themselves in the mirror. That's just how you get better. But I do think there are times with him where he tries too hard, where, you know, at the end of the day, it's a blue collar audience. You don't have to come up with unique jargon and verbiage to make them care about you. And I have that problem too, because I have a weird vocabulary from reading so much of my entire life. And I'll be doing audio, and then I'll say something, and I'll get like three emails like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like,
oh, I get that, you know, for the opposite fucking reason.
But I don't think, the one thing there's no denying is that he cares so much. Sometimes he probably cares too much, and he gets in his little bubble and doesn't think about how it's going to be heard or seen outside of that bubble. And I think that's every performer. You know, everybody always has a moment where they take a misstep and go, okay, I got a little too far off to the side. I got to get myself in the center of the road again. So, you know, but I like that promo because I truly believe when he was breaking up and starting to cry in that ring, that was legitimate. Because
no
his
doubt.
Dad meant the world to him.
Yeah.
I feel bad for saying it, but you just...
No, don't feel bad.
It's caused Cody unfollowed him.
No, you're right. John's, I've got an ulterior motive. Cody unfollowed me on Twitter about a year ago, so ever since then I've wanted him to fail.
Oh, well, I'm going to go and follow him now. Forget that.
Mike, no, I'm kidding. He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you on Wrestling Daft. We really appreciate your time. Really appreciate you coming on. I'm intrigued. I studied journalism, Mike, at university. How did you get into the wrestling journalism side of things?
It was not a plan. None of this was my plan in life. So I have a writing background. I went to accelerated writing courses at a school called Queens, New York, called John Bound High School. It still exists. They've changed the name of the course, but it still exists in some form. So I was doing things like being in like the New York Daily News newsroom as a volunteer and taking college level courses while I was in high school and things like that. And like I went to like a master class that was taught by Kurt Vonnegut once, which Kurt Vonnegut Jr., excuse me, the late amazing author, who gave me this amazing advice. It was one of the best things I ever heard from a writer. Somebody asked him, like, if you're writing something, you can't figure out what to do with the character, what do you do? And he just looked at everybody and goes, kill the motherfucker. I was just like, wow. I'm like 16 years old. It always stuck with me. Like, all right, harsh is the way to go. But, my original goal was to go work in the entertainment world. And I was doing that. I was working for a guy named Lee Daniels, who later went on to recreate Empire. And I'd worked for a couple of other firms. I ended up in a car wreck and nearly died. And like, it's like, I had to like recently reboot my entire life. And I was already writing for One Wrestling and Dave Scherer's Wrestling Lariat newsletter just for fun. And so I was doing that. And I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, because when you have a near, and hopefully no one else has ever goes through this, but when you have a near-death experience, you look back on everything and you go, okay, I didn't like this. I didn't like who I was. I could have been dead. Like, watch out, dead. Like that could have been my story on July 6, 2021. I was 2001, excuse me. I was a passenger in a car and somebody said, oh, shh. And I never heard the rest of the word. I was knocked out. And that could have been it. That would have been like the end of me. So when you're that hurt, you've got 18 months of surgeries and rehab and everything else to try and get yourself right again, and also get your head right again after going through a major trauma, you look back on things that used to be important to you and suddenly you're like, oh, what am I doing? And at the same time, once I was healthy, I was writing about wrestling because I was home unless I was doing rehab. And so it just ended up, I was doing more and more. And I knew people from ECW when I was around ECW. And then Dave Scherer left One Wrestling to create PW Insider a little bit over 18 years ago now. And he said, hey, I'm going to leave. And Dave was always my guy. That's my boy. I was like, oh, I'm going with you. And then he was like, well, I can pay you this. And if this takes off, you'll get more. Well, by the end of the first month, suddenly I had a full-time living. And I was already like, I didn't want to go back and do that stuff. I didn't want to go work 18-hour days living in New York on Los Angeles hours. And it's a very vain existence, and it's a very hard existence. You know, God bless everybody that does that world. It's a hard grind. And I was like, I could be at home, and I could live, make a full-time living, and I could write about something I've always loved and cared about. All right, I'll give myself a year and see how it happened. And now I've been doing it a little bit over 18 years.
Wow.
And I'm always cognizant that it could always end and I'd have to move on to something else. I hope it never does, because I like being at home all day and making my own hours and doing my own things and running into Greedo in Madison Square Garden. But, you know, I'm very lucky. I'm very blessed. And it just sort of, you know, every year got a little bit bigger for me, and every year got a little bit more interesting for me. And I just been I've been blessed by pro wrestling from the second I went to the first Monday Night Raw taping. I met my best friends there at that taping, the first taping in the Manhattan Center. From there, I go,
By the way, before you need to tell me what's the scoop on the Vladimir documentary, by the way.
I wish I had an answer.
Come right, on, so man.
He, Grado knows I'm talking about Vladimir and Ringside Charlie, who are like two of the most famous fans in the world. They're my best friends. Everyone's waiting. I suspect that that stuff got sold over to A&E. And that's why we haven't seen it, because A&E hasn't started rolling out the next round of WWE footage. But we haven't gotten a clear answer on that. And, you know, 10,000 people asked Vlad in Dallas, like, where's the documentary? And he's like, I don't know. Like, no one's told him. He's waiting. He hasn't even seen it yet.
Was it the same? Because I remember they were going to release the Luger documentary, and then they had said that there was so many layoffs in the documentary team. Was that related to that?
Yeah, I think it was just a confluence of events. I think they killed two divisions and made it one. People who worked on some of these projects were gone, so they weren't there to fight for them. And they were, you know, they've changed so much about the internal maneuverings of that company that they've, you know, under Nick Khan, it's been like, how many new revenue streams can we get? It's okay. Why, you know, we've already got Peacock paying us this. Why put all this stuff out on Peacock now? We can take some of this stuff that wouldn't be original WWE Peacock content because it's not live TV. And that Peacock's not specifically paying for it, we can get someone else to pay for it. We can have more than one revenue stream. And I think that had a big part of it too. But yeah, Vlad's waiting. Like, he's waiting to see it. He hasn't seen it yet. I want it to come out. You know, I'll be honest, you know, anybody who saw Vlad at WrestleMania in Dallas, he's walking with the cane now. He's got some health issues. They're not going to resolve themselves. You know, this is a guy who used to go run like 5 miles a day and go play softball four games a weekend, and was a big, tough, big guy. And, you know, he's getting, you know, he's older now, but he's not going to bounce back and be the person that he was. He's walking with the cane now. He's got some issues. I want it to come out because I know it'll uplift him. And it'll be exciting for him. And he'll get this cool moment of, this is his life. And I saw the documentary. It streamed to the LA Shorts Film Festival last year. And I was able to see it. And the only reason I haven't written about what's in it is just out of respect for my friend more than anything else. Yeah. The one thing that I will say is that WWE should have put it out this past weekend. Here's why. No matter how discombobulated we are as people or as a society in the United States, where politically we're so decisive at the moment, and I hope that changes, the one thing that unites us, no matter who we are, is the thing that we're passionate about, whether it's Star Wars or Star Trek. We're all passionate about something, whether it's wrestling or baseball. We're all passionate about something. This is a guy whose entire life, his adult life, it's been about, he's passionate and he loves pro wrestling. He's not there to go, look at me, I'm so important, like some people are in the world. You know, he's not an influencer trying to, he's not a cultural influencer where the story is about him as opposed to the culture he cares about. This is a guy who just loves wrestling, and he lives and dies for wrestling. If he wasn't able to go to WrestleMania this year, it would have crushed him. When that one year they were in the Performance Center and there were no fans, it broke his heart to not go. And, you know, whether it's WWE or he's at an indie show with me, like he was over the weekend, he's sitting there and he's like the most on the edge of his seat fan for every near fall and everyone coming out. And he just wants to say thank you to every wrestler. He loves pro wrestling probably more than most husbands love their wives. I know that sounds silly, but it's true. There's an essence of innocence about him when it comes to how much he loves wrestling. And the reason they should have put it out, and I'll say this every day, should put it out today. Put it out today. By the time you're done watching it, you feel like this is why I love wrestling.
Like, well, that's a great feeling then.
Yeah, and I think it would unite everybody. Like, oh, this is why I love WWE. I love WWE because it gave me something when I needed something in my life. When I was down and I was depressed, all right, I could put on wrestling and ding, ding, ding. I could watch something and it completely distracted me. Whether it was great or bad or fun or silly or stupid or exciting, it was still in my headspace. And that allowed me to get out of my mental funk or take my mind off something that was sad or something that was really bothering me. And that's something wrestling has given all of us at some point in our lives. We've all been gifted that by pro wrestling. And for him, the gift has been, he's kind of become this weird sort of pseudo celebrity just because he loves wrestling. Mm-hmm. I saw probably 50 wrestlers stop and say, can I get a photo with you?
Wow.
I'd love a picture with Vladimir. Honestly, I'd love it.
Well, let's make it happen. We're all the same place to make that happen. The one thing that and I don't even think he understands it. He is the living, walking avatar of professional wrestling fandom. And when he's gone one day, everyone's going to say, remember that guy? He's the guy who's going to be known for just loving pro wrestling. He's not a smart fan. He doesn't care about spoilers. He's never seen my website. He's my best friend.
That's amazing.
One of my best friends.
That makes me love him even more.
When we talk, it's never about, oh, guess what's going to happen? Like, he doesn't want to know. He just wants to watch the shows. And I respect that. But, like, he's the living essence of everything that's great and pure about loving pro wrestling. So, God damn it, WWE, put that documentary out. Let's go.
I've just seen that beautiful picture. Because I wasn't aware of Vladimir until Gradle pointed him out to me. I've just seen that beautiful picture of him standing there with the belt with Stephanie and Hunter. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and like, he was in my hotel room that night. He came back and, like, he was, you know, it was after the show and they had obviously filmed him. And I was like, and we're all sitting there, we're looking at this thing. And I go, hey, Vlad. He goes, I go, how are we getting this back to New York? Because this is a big, heavy wooden thing. It's like 30 pounds. So we had to figure that out at like 2 o'clock in the morning after the show. And we're leaving at 6. So we figured it out. But yeah, like that moment meant the world to him.
Yeah.
You know, because he looks upon it as that's his family. Just like someone who lives and dies by the New York Yankees or the Boston Red Sox, that's their team. And those are the two baseball teams often go to war here in the U.S. That he looks at it as like, that's his family. That's his team. He wants to go and he had just had, I don't want to say what it was, but he had just had a family tragedy like a week before WrestleMania past week. And I was like, bro, are you going to go? And he's like, I have to go. I need this. Like, and when he says it, he's not being dramatic. There's no dramatic bone in that man's body. He's very honest and pure in everything that he says. And like, if he was not able to go, it would have brought him down really into a sad place. But by being there, his dude was up in the clouds and up in the stratosphere the entire time. Like it means something to him on an emotional level that much more than it means to any of us. And we're all here talking about wrestling because we love it. Grado's the one taking bumps because he loves it. And I'll say right now, Vladimir loves it more than any of us who are
supporting
this or anybody who's listening to this. The guy just, he loves and lives for pro wrestling. And there's something great about that I don't want to say jealous is the right word because, he's my boy. I'm with him when we go to shows and stuff, but you got to be envious of someone who just loves something that deep and that pure for no secondary underlying reason other than, hey, this is my thing and I love it and this is what I need to get the most out of my day. I respect the hell out of that for him.
Well, I tell you, I might not be as big a fan as Vladimir, but what you hit the nail on the head with, we've always got wrestling to fall back on. Mike, over here in the UK, we have a football rivalry, Glasgow Rangers versus Glasgow Celtic, and it is worldwide known and it can get to you. And my team get beat on Sunday. At 12 p.m., WrestleMania was that night, and I thought, thank fuck for the wrestling. Thank fuck for the wrestling.
Well, if I ever get to Glasgow, we're going to a game.
You get yourself over here, I'll take you. I'll show you the Ibrox Stadium, mate.
it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you on Wrestling Daft today. And I always say that you are one of the good guys of wrestling journalism, because if you see a story with Mike Johnson written next to it, you know it's going to be the truth.
Yeah, PWI and PWinsider.com.
Guys, it was my pleasure. I really appreciate it. Like when Grado got to me yesterday, I was like, yep, let's do it right away.
I'm so glad, man.
No, I shoved everything aside for you because you're a great dude. And you work hard, and I know you're a big family man, and I know you're a self-made success, and right. I respect the hell out of that. And John, it was great talking to you, getting to know you, and I look forward to doing the sequel down the line. Anytime you guys need me, I'm happy to jump on board.
You're the man. You're an absolute gent, mate. Honestly, it's been great catching up with you, pal. You take care, my man, all right?
All right, you guys be safe on that side of the pond. Hopefully, we're all in the same place soon. I thank everyone for listening. You know where you can find me, and I just want to say thank you, because listen, I do this for a living, and it's because a bunch of people are kind enough to care about what I write, and I appreciate and love every single one of you, even if you don't like what I write, because you're still reading it. So I appreciate it, and I hope everybody's safe and well and healthy, and I look forward to seeing all of you down the line.
Brilliant, mate. Take care, pal.
Be good.
So that's it for this week's Wrestling Daft. A bit of a WrestleMania special, so we didn't have the watch on and we didn't have the list of Wrestling Daft. We'll be back with a list of Wrestling Daft and hopefully Rab next week, and we're going to look at Triple H's best moments, Grado, because obviously put the
that was quite emotional as well, the Triple H coming out and laying his boots in the ring.
It was. So we'll look at Triple H's greatest moments next week on the podcast. So have a think about those and get them into us. That we'd really appreciate that. We'll also get a suggestion in for the watch along for next week. We've had fucking loads of problems with the watch along. See, try to get the video version of the YouTube up with. Oh, I've had threats from TNA, threats from the WWE. Oh, yeah. So I'm going to have to work a way around right. The watch along, but we'll work it out. I'm working on it. But if you've got any suggestions of how to beat the WWE's copyright infringement laws, that would be brilliant.
Do you know what I forgot to add? Just, I know you're desperate to go because you've got stuff on, John, right? But it's funny, right, the way WrestleMania weekend, where it can date you, right? I don't know if you have this with Siobhan, right? But it's like seeing Sunday morning at 7:30, Stephanie's got up, she's fucking stressed out, the rain's been greeting and stuff like that. And I'm like, sit and watch this. See this bit here, right? Now, we didn't know that this guy was going to come out, right? This guy called Cody Rhodes, right? Now, remember that stuff that I've showed you sometimes? It's an ITV and a Saturday night, right? Well, he left the WWE, but what he done was he stepped at this company with this guy. Now, the problem is, he's got a different name, right? He's kind of got his surname, but he's just called Cody. But now, he's maybe coming back. Now, what the deal is, they might not get his own music. So, what happened is, we're all sitting here, will he get his music? Will he not get his music? She's gone, what the fuck? I don't give a shit. I don't care.
I did that with Siobhan. You know what, Siobhan walked through it, and I'm watching, she loves Jackass. She's like, is that Johnny Knoxville? And she sat down and watched it, and she says, I bet you the wee man's under the ring. And I said, that's
brilliant, that's funny.
Totally cold. I was like, you should be working in creative, darling. Listen out of the week, I think we're going to have to give it this week.
The WrestleMania sign.
The WrestleMania, aye. Chris Barrett is this week's Wrestling Daft Listener of the Week, after pointing out Ronda Rousey fannying about with her ring gear all the way through the match. So we'll give it to Chris this week. Thank you very much for listening to Wrestling Daft. Like I say, Rab will be back next week, fingers crossed. If in the meantime, join up to our Patreon, patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. Buy yourself a t-shirt. We'd love to. You can show the support of the podcast with a Wrestling Daft t-shirt. Charge about with that on. Looking cool. shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. That's it, Grado.
Well, John, it's been a pleasure with you. As I say, you know I'm lucky to know when I say when I get people on because you talk shit. That's no true at all. It's always a pleasure to sit down and talk wrestling with your pal, and we'll hopefully have Rabo next week, the threesome. Hopefully we'll get the threesome back again.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Until next time.
It's yourself.
Up the roads. Audio Frontier.